Lord Jesus, I pray for these next few minutes that you would open up your word to us, that we would understand it better, that we would see something maybe we hadn't seen before, but most of all, that we would sense that you're speaking. Father, I know that there are times that I get in my thoughts, in my brain, that this is the way things are, and I don't always hear when you open my eyes the right direction. And so I pray today as we look at your word, as we talk, that you would help us to see and hear what it is that you're saying today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been talking through a section of Scripture talking about the Holy Spirit. And within this section, it's found in John chapter 16. We actually started John 14. And we kind of landed in John 16. We spent several weeks in John 16. And what we've been talking about is the Holy Spirit and having an understanding or an accurate expectation of what the Holy Spirit does. Okay? So I think that oftentimes the Holy Spirit is one of those things is one of those understandings of God, this peace of God, maybe we'll say it that way, this peace of God that we don't always have a good grasp of. And we have these expectations of what the Holy Spirit is going to do. In fact, we have some expectations of what the Holy Spirit should do in other people's lives, right? Some of us aren't willing to look at me and make eye contact at that one. Sometimes we want the Holy Spirit to work in our spouse's life, and we can tell the Holy Spirit what he needs to do. Having the accurate expectation, and the place we get that is Scripture, right? I mean, that's what Jesus actually told us. Here's what you can expect. When the Holy Spirit comes, when the Advocate comes, here's what he's going to do. Now, that's where we need to have a good understanding. That's where we need to have some time to look at this and say, hey, this is what we know the Holy Spirit can do, so that our expectations are correct. You know, a couple weeks back, I said that the Holy Spirit's language is Scripture. So if you want to know the Holy Spirit's language, then you should be reading Scripture. Guess what? You know what I heard Sarah say? That God's been talking to her through the Scripture. See here, if you don't spend time in Scripture, then you're kind of guessing on what he's saying. And so we got to this spot in our passage that we're looking at, and this is our third week in it, where Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. And we spent a week on sin, on what does that look like? What is the Holy Spirit doing in that area? And last week we talked about righteousness. And let me just pause there for a minute, because I want to make sure that that I'm watching for what God's talking to me about during the week. So I'll be honest with you that there are times when I preach a sermon and then Monday morning I'm thinking about what the next sermon is. And honestly, I have to go back to my notes to try to remember what I talked about. That's terrible, okay? I don't like that. I'm not proud of that. And so I'm trying to build in this, what did I talk about last Sunday, and how has God kind of been working on me this last week about it, okay? So last week was that the Holy Spirit will prove us to be in the wrong, prove the world to be in the wrong about righteousness. Because I go to be with the Father where you will see me no more. All right? And I had a few conversations this week, and one of them was with a gentleman, and I just came across this thought. He was sharing with me some stresses in his life, and pretty much we kind of went through what he did that week. And he had a lot of things that were good, except for none of them were working towards what his heart was telling him he needed to do. And so I said, you know, sometimes good things aren't the best. God's desire is for our best. And so we oftentimes will give up the best for what's good. Okay? I'm not going to tell you what I said, what the situation was, because then you'd be like, well, who? That narrows it down to who he was talking to, and I want to do that, all right? So just that you know what? That's a part of it, is that righteousness isn't the good. It's what God approves of. It's what's best. And we spend a lot of time, I think, in our lives thinking about that what God approves of is that we don't sin. Not that God approves of what we are doing. The second time that God kind of talked to me about last week was, a couple days ago, I was outside with Annie and Max in there, and I'm teaching them to ride a motorcycle. And we started off real easy. Not a couple weeks ago, we were on a flat surface, fence around it, grass. It's taken care of, so if they wrecked, it's just nice to crash on. Some of you are like, oh, that sounds a lot like the field out there, because it was. Now that I've shared that, I hope not everybody brings their kids out to ride on the grass. But anyway, is that abusive power? I'm not sure. But by the way, somebody said, this color makes me feel like you're yelling at us. And I'm not yelling, okay? Just felt like, hey, some of you guys wear this to work, this color to work, so I should wear it to work sometimes too, right? Anyhow, that's a side note. Okay, so anyway, this next stage in the learning to ride a motorcycle is up at the house, and I've mowed this little path out and stuff, and it's kind of more, it's much more narrow than the field out there, and so Annie rode, and she did a pretty good job, and I said that, no, the corners are the hard part, because you got to go down, you got to turn around, and you want to turn around from going downhill and turn around uphill. That way, if you lose control, you don't go crashing down the hill, okay? And so I told that to Max, and Max is on it, and he's being real cautious, and he gets to the corner, and the motorcycle's not moving very much, so he had to give it gas. And he gave it a lot more gas, and he starts to go around the corner, and he turns sharper, and all of a sudden, the bike's down, and he went flying off of it, and he landed on a root. You know, he scraped up his side and stuff, he's crying, and some of you are going to think my parenting is awful, but I don't have to answer to you for my parenting, so I only have to answer to God for that. But my rule is, if you wreck, if you're not broken up, if you wreck, you're getting back on it. And so I went over to him, picked up the motorcycle, I said, do you understand? Remember this. I know you're crying, I know it hurts, but you're getting back on it. And I just want to go inside. I said, no, you're getting back on it. So I got him back on it, and he's really cautious again, and he goes and he wrecks again. This time, no injury, but he's still just like, he's shaking and he's crying, and he's, can I go inside now? And I said, no, you got to get this. I said, no, listen. Now what you're doing is you're looking at where you don't want to go. I said, don't look where you don't want to go. Don't look where you don't want to go. And then I thought, well, that's probably confusing to a five-year-old, right? So look where you want to go. Look where you want to go. Don't look where you don't want to go. Look where you want to go. And so he got back on, and he's riding, and pretty soon he starts to speed up, and he's going around, and he's talking to himself. And I think, what is he saying? Is he singing or what? And it's because sometimes when riding motorcycles, I'll sing, because it's kind of, you're kind of in that all by yourself kind of thing anyway. So we get done, and I said, Max, you were I could hear you talking, but I couldn't tell what you were saying. What were you saying? He goes, I was saying, don't look where you don't want to go. Look where you want to go. Don't look where you don't want to go. Look where you want to go. Don't look where you don't want to go. Look where you want to go. And I'm like, yes, it's sinking in, hopefully. And then I realized, that's actually a really good life lesson, right? And then Sabrina's like, well, it's kind of like what you're saying Sunday. Ding! Righteousness. I think a lot of times in us as Christians, we tend to think about what we're not supposed to do, where we're not supposed to go. And we, all of a sudden in that transition of that thinking, we begin to think that righteousness is all about not doing stuff. But righteousness is about what God is calling us to do. the way God is calling us to live. And he's calling us to live a certain way more than he's calling us to not live a certain way. Does that make sense? Okay? Because when we get caught up in where we don't want to go, that's where we end up. So, it was good for me, and I get to share that with you, all right? So, don't look where you don't want to go. Look where you want to go, okay? Now, let's crack open this passage again. Chapter 15, starting verse 26, we're going to read into chapter 16 of John, all right? Once again, we're spending time in this passage. This is only 1 week of the several that we're going to be in this part. So there's going to be sections of it you're like, man, I'm still lost a little bit in here. It's okay because we're going to take just little pieces, okay? So Jesus is talking to his disciples. It's just days before he's arrested to be crucified. And he's talking to them about the Holy Spirit. He says, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. So we know this, first of all, expectation. The Holy Spirit is testifying to us about Jesus. Okay? And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Okay, so today what we're going to look at, and this large chunk of scripture is we're going to look at this. He will prove the world to be in the wrong about judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Easy, right? Judgment. Oh yeah, we get it, right? One day we're going to stand before God and we will be judged. There, my sermon's over. We're done. Well, we got time, so I'll just spend a little more time on it, okay? I didn't get anybody with it, aw, or anything like that. Okay. You guys are kind. When the Holy Spirit comes, one of the things that he is going to do is open up our eyes to judgment. Do you hear what Jesus is saying here? When the Holy Spirit comes, one of the things he's going to do is he's going to prove us to be in the wrong. He's going to open our eyes. He's going to show us where we kind of are a little bit off when it comes to judgment. So maybe the question as we read this, maybe the question we need to ask ourselves is, where am I wrong about judgment? He'll prove the world to be in the wrong about judgment. Where am I wrong about judgment? See, if we know that the Holy Spirit is going to talk to us about judgment, then maybe we should be listening for it. You know, my phone has this little button along the side. And if I move this button, my ringer turns on. Now, for some of us, we haven't discovered that because your phone goes off in the service. But, sorry, that was a snide comment. Anyway, but you know what? When I'm expecting a call and I don't want to miss it, I turn my ringer on. Because I'm expecting it. And I want to listen for it. It's possible. Maybe what we should do in our lives is say, hey, you know what? The Holy Spirit's going to talk to me about judgment. He wants to talk to us about judgment. Now, Jesus told us that he's going to talk to the world about judgment. Is it possible that we're off and he wants to talk to us about it? Maybe it's time we turned our ringer on. Maybe it's time we listened for, what does he say? And it might not be this morning, but it might be through this week that God says, hey, remember that? Don't look where you don't want to go. Some of you guys are turning your phones on and off. That's funny. All right. How often do we live as though we might possibly have to answer for our behavior? I mean, do we go through our lives this way? Do we go through our lives thinking, I'm going to have to answer for this? I can't help but think, does Jesus' forgiveness mean that there are no consequences? It'd be nice if that were true, right? Man, it'd be great if we could just say, Jesus, I am so sorry. Would you forgive me? And he goes, oh, yeah, absolutely. By the way, you know, this that was going to happen is no longer going to happen. But that's not always the case, is it? Oftentimes, most of the time, we set a ball in motion. And the consequences still play out. We're just forgiven. And if we think that by asking God for forgiveness means that we don't have to face the consequences, we need the Holy Spirit to talk to us about judgment. So judgment and consequences aren't always the same thing. Okay? So one thing we looked at last week is he will prove the world to be in the wrong. I decided, as we talked last week, it just seemed like it made more sense. Now, and you could choose to decide with me or to choose to decide, no, that's probably not what he's talking about. But when I read this, what Jesus is saying, we could have believed one of two things. We could have believed that the world, as he refers to it here, is those people outside of God's kingdom. Okay? Because oftentimes in New Testament especially, the world meant something that was not within God's kingdom. There were Christians and they were worldly. Now, we could read that and go, oh, well, that means that the Holy Spirit's talking to everybody else about judgment. But us Christians, he's not talking to us about that. Or we can say, maybe what Jesus meant when he said the world, that the Holy Spirit will prove the world to be in the wrong about judgment, is he's saying that he's going to prove to everybody. Period. Everybody. I've chosen to believe that he's talking to everybody about judgment. However, if you're in the kingdom of God, your understanding of judgment probably is a little different than if you're not in the kingdom of God. If you have not received Christ, if you've never asked him into your life, you've never placed your trust in him and call him your Savior, made him your Savior, then you're not in the kingdom. And judgment looks a little bit different. Hey, let's take a moment and just pray, okay? Ambulance call. Lord Jesus, we don't know the situation and we don't know any of the details, but we want to lift to you, Michael, and we lift to you those that are involved. Pray that you would be working. We ask for safety, we ask for healing, we ask for protection. And we lift them to you. In Jesus' name, amen. This is not in my notes. Can I just pause for a minute? First service, the testimony time, John Harvey shared that he had a motorcycle accident this week, and it was not good. And he got hauled to the hospital in an ambulance, and he was pretty sure that his back was broken, and he ended up just with some stretched ligaments, and he's standing telling the story. So that was awesome. And then when another person stood up and said, well, we were just coming back from the lake, and we had a boat and everything else, and we couldn't pull over, but we drove past, and we saw the group of people standing around you and helping you, and we prayed for you. So God was working. Anyway, so that was tied in with the call. Okay, anyway. So outside the kingdom, judgment outside the kingdom, back to, that was a commercial break. We'll just call it that, all right? We're used to commercial breaks, right? So back to this. Outside the kingdom, judgment, what does that look like? If you haven't made a decision to invite Jesus into your life, then the Holy Spirit is talking to you about judgment day. Okay? I don't know, that's kind of a strong statement. You might ignore it, but we know that this is one of the things that the Holy Spirit is doing, that He is talking to everyone about judgment. That means if you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, somewhere along the way, God is talking to you about judgment. And when our lives don't match up with Jesus, the standard, He is the standard, we won't be found acceptable. Those of us that are inside the kingdom, guess what? We've been forgiven. We have taken on His standard, and we have a different view of judgment. I mean, we're talking about the situation. This is worse than an IRS audit. Okay? There, every detail will be looked at. In fact, we're told in Revelation chapter 20, then I saw a great white throne and Him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from His presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Kind of does sound like an IRS audit, doesn't it? Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, death and Hades gave up the dead and that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. There is a day coming when everyone will be judged. The Holy Spirit is talking to the world about judgment. The Holy Spirit is at work in all people, telling us one day you will answer for the way you lived. So we look out at our neighbors who maybe aren't Christians. One of the things that we can say is, I believe that the Holy Spirit's talking to them about answering for the way they've lived. One day they're going to have to answer for it. Now, it gets twisted along the way, okay? Unfortunately, Satan's good at lies, and it gets twisted along the way. In fact, one of those twisting of Judgment Day is karma. You know, what comes around goes around, or what goes around comes around, however that works, okay? It's all going to catch up to you someday. Well, it is. But we don't actually believe in karma. I hope that's not news to you. We do believe that God knows and that we will answer for the way we have lived. I've heard, heard somebody talk about the teaching of evolution. And people that have really become proponents of it. I'm not talking about the casual evolutionist. I'm not talking about the people that would say, oh, you know, billions of years ago and that kind of thing. I mean the ones that really push for evolution. I've heard what the argument is that there is a real, one of the reasons why it's almost a religion. I don't know if you recognize that or not. But is it that possibly one of the big reasons why it's such a push is because if we can make that transition from being created and believing that we evolved, we've just taken God out of the picture. And if God's not in the picture, you don't have to answer for the choices you've made. And yet God is at work. And some of us fight it harder than others. Some listen and respond. In fact, think about it. Just a few short generations ago, the biggest, most common sermons were hellfire and brimstone sermons. Turn or burn, right? Fire insurance. That one day you're going to have to answer for it. Listen, it worked. People came to know the Lord in droves out of fear. Except for, guess what? The Holy Spirit is working. He is talking to us about this. And those that have rejected this revealing, this proving to be wrong, those that rejected it have been rejecting the Holy Spirit. Listen to Jesus' words. Jesus was casting out demons. Sorry, that was really funny. Jesus is casting out demons. Not that part's not funny. All right, sorry. Pharisees are watching them and they're like, oh, this guy, you know, we don't think he's who he says he is, and he's not a good guy. They're saying this about Jesus, and they're saying he's the son of Satan. And so Jesus responds to them. He says this, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. I thought that was Abraham Lincoln that said that in Night at the Museum, but it's not. It's Jesus here, okay? Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. See, he's addressing this claim. Jesus is addressing this claim that he's not from God. That what they are seeing isn't God's Spirit at work. They're ignoring the work of God's Spirit. They're denying that it's Him. They're watching with their very eyes God moving, and they're saying, that's not God. And he goes on, he says, or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can plunder his house. Whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander will be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or the age to come. Now we could speculate, well, what does that mean, right? What does it mean to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit? No. If we went down that road, we wouldn't be able to go anywhere else, and we'd probably still come out more confused than not. So let's just understand this. Know the picture. Jesus is casting out demons, and they're saying, that's not God working. So we should recognize, for some, God is working, and God is talking to you about something. And it's important that we give credit where credit is due. It is important that we recognize when it is God working. If we ignore the Holy Spirit and deny what He's proving to us, we will face judgment. Listen, the Holy Spirit is really good at making His case. So He's really good at proving you to be in the wrong. And if you refuse what He's doing, you're not receiving Christ. He goes on and He says, but I tell you that everyone, you hear that? Everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Everyone will have to give an account. That is the truth that the Holy Spirit is working to reveal in everyone's heart. Especially outside of the kingdom. So now let's turn our attention to what's inside the kingdom. Those inside the kingdom, all right? Within the kingdom of God, He says this, because I prove the world to be in the wrong about righteousness, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Did you catch that? Or, other translations say, has been judged. Now, as I spent some time, I pulled up other translations, and some translations have the word now in there somewhere, and then others don't. So I went to the Greek, and it's a present tense comment. Jesus' statement is now. The language that He uses is, Satan has been condemned now. I can't help but think, well, what happened up until this point? That kind of blew me away for a moment. Wait a minute. It wasn't until Jesus, at that moment, it wasn't until that point that Satan was condemned. That's how I read this. That's weird. See, in my head, I thought Satan was already condemned when he was cast out of heaven. Now, this topic about Satan's fall and Satan described, I got to tell you, there have been some powerful sermons preached. Some instructors that have created a vivid picture. And the problem is, as you go to the scriptures, there's not as much material there as they've led you to believe. So what do we do with that? Do you hear what I'm saying? Is there are times that what happens here, especially when it comes to this, is that we have an understanding maybe of what happened and what it looks like, and then we come to discover, wait a minute, that's not what Scripture says though. So if you're wondering, we have some pictures of Satan in the Old Testament. What we do know is we know Satan was represented as a serpent in the garden, and he tempted Adam and Eve, and they failed. We do know in the book of Job that God and Satan had this interaction. And if you've never read the book of Job, it's really weird. Okay, I got to admit to you, I haven't got my mind all the way around this, because the story kind of goes, you know, that God's hanging out and wherever God hangs out, you know, and throne room probably, and Satan shows up and God goes, what you been doing? Like God didn't know, right? And he goes, oh, I've been roaming the earth. And he goes, oh, have you seen my servant Job? And Satan's like, oh yeah, I've seen him. But you bless him with everything. He's a spoiled kid. No wonder he's your favorite. And so it begins this little wager. That's not good language, I know, okay? I don't know that it's really a wager, but they have this discussion. And so basically it goes, okay, God goes, well, go ahead. But see, don't get sidetracked. All this is that there's this interaction. It's weird. If Satan had already been judged, I don't believe this interaction would have been taking place. Judgment is the casting away from. Satan and God wouldn't have been having this conversation. Wait a minute. That changes the way I've seen things a little bit. Now, is it important? Maybe. Okay? If you want to see the background, Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, that's where the description of Satan being cast out of heaven is found. Here's the deal. It doesn't name Satan specifically. We have just taken those passages and said, it's not necessarily a king that they're talking about here. It's actually Satan. If you've found yourself going, well, I thought it was pretty cut and dry in Scripture. Maybe you just take a little bit of time and read those passages. See what the Bible says rather than what some pastor said. I would love it if you, maybe not love it, but if you would come to me and say, hey, you know what? You preached this last week. I went to the Bible and I didn't, that's not how I saw it. And then I'd feel terrible because I was wrong, but at least, we would, I'm just kidding, but at least you're reading the Bible. What a fantastic thing. Okay? Satan's judgment took place with the life of Jesus. Now, let's stop for a minute here, because it still kind of throws me off. Jesus hasn't been crucified yet, and he says to them, Satan now stands condemned. Well, I thought Satan's condemnation, the judgment of Satan, happened maybe at the crucifixion. So Jesus was crucified, Satan was judged. Wait a minute. Jesus is standing there, he hasn't been crucified, and he says, Satan now stands condemned. Satan's judgment took place within the life of Jesus. His life. That now peace, that now word is important. John 12, chapter 12, verse 31 and 32 says this, now is the time for judgment on this world. We're even farther back in John now. We were reading John 16. Now we're going four chapters back. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. During Jesus' life, Satan is judged. At his crucifixion, he's drawing all men to himself. Changes the way I see how things had been functioning. Here's why I think it's important. I have a tendency to think Satan's power, his understanding, his influence was the same before Jesus as it is today. But I don't think it is. See, we don't even have any clue. But it would appear through this passage of Scripture and through other scriptures, Satan really had free reign until the life of Jesus. Jesus changes everything. He changed everything. The victory has already taken place. So what can we learn? I mean, that's interesting. That gives me some food for thought. I'll just kind of chew on that this week. But what can we learn from this? Today, does it not seem like Satan's winning? When we look at our culture and we compare it to what it was like 20 years ago, it sure seems like we're going backwards. And 20 years ago, if you would have said, look at our culture 20 years ago, we'd look at and say, man, this world is fallen apart. And yet, Satan has been condemned. Think about this. If Satan, back in Jesus' life, if Satan could push the circumstances, if he could push the circumstances that led to Jesus being on the cross, because if we read through the scripture, we see that he did, right? So Judas, who betrayed Jesus, the scripture tells us that Satan entered him and he betrayed Jesus. And And yet, the cross is the very thing that brought victory. Do you see how that just twisted? Twisted on him. Then is it possible in our lives, what looks like Satan's victories could be the ground for Jesus' triumph in our lives? Because what looked like Satan's victory, Jesus being crucified on a cross in a way, executed in a way that was reserved for the worst of criminals, the righteousness of God was being executed that was in a way that was reserved for the worst criminals. And somehow, Jesus has victory. What about in our lives, where it appears that Satan is winning? Could we be wrong? Could we maybe have something to learn about judgment here? Because Satan now stands condemned. Is it possible that Satan has us believing that he has more power than he actually has? Let me go back to what I read here, Matthew chapter 12, verse 29. We read more of it, but he says this: how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can plunder his house. Jesus is using this illustration to talk about what he's doing. He's casting out demons and they're saying, that's not of God. And he goes, hey, what do you do when you want to steal from a strong man? You enter his house and you tie him up first. Did Jesus just tell us he tied up Satan? So that we can plunder Satan's kingdom. In order to carry off his possessions. Is he telling us something here that the Holy Spirit wants to show us? Is he showing us something maybe we've been off in our thinking, just by a little bit? See, for non-Christians, there's condemnation, okay? Sounds harsh. But if your name is not in the book of life, you'll be cast off. But for us Christians, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. There is now no condemnation. There is now no condemnation. Satan has been condemned. Satan has been condemned. But we haven't. In fact, we've been set free. Maybe this is the place where we have to learn. Now, yeah, we know it, right? Oh, yeah, we've been set free. I got it. Amazing grace, my chains are gone. We've been set free. How many times do we believe the lie that somehow we have disqualified ourselves? I mean, just step back for a minute and think about this. Oh, you know, God, I know that's what you want me to do, but look at what I've done in my past. And then God would say, right, in that kind of conversation, God would say, oh, you're right. I didn't even think of that. Yeah, I'll move on to the next guy. Absolutely not. Do you think he accounted for it? Yes. Does he want you to sin? Absolutely not. Is it a loss? Well, it can still lead to victory. Because God can use the garbage from our life and make something great. Our failure, our sin, our dumb choices, our shame. We're afraid that, well, that'll taint the gospel. We don't want it to get in the way. So what do? Well, we condemn ourselves. We believe it. God can't use me. God wouldn't want to use me. Here's how it plays out often. The Holy Spirit shows us what our purpose is. And we fear that we can't do it because of our past. Jesus tied up the strong man, but he set us free. In John chapter 8, Jesus says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Now maybe your argument isn't that you're condemning yourself. Maybe you're afraid, or maybe you've seen other Christians condemn Christians. Man, that's difficult, isn't it? That's intimidating. It's hard not to interpret fellow Christians' condemnation as God's condemnation. But that isn't what the Holy Spirit is showing us. Remember, conviction is not condemnation. Yes, he's going to call your sin wrong. Yes, he's going to say, "Knock it off. Stop it." But he's not saying, "Now I can't use you." So what is the Holy Spirit talking to you about in regards to judgment? Do we need to stop looking over our shoulders, wondering when our past will catch up to us? You probably have some ugly stuff in your past. But what Satan intends for evil, God can use for good. We have been set free. We have to learn this. So where have you come from? Where you have come from, okay? Doesn't disqualify you from where God wants to take you. Where you've come from doesn't disqualify you from where God wants to take you. So let me close with these two passages of Scripture. So Colossians chapter 2 says this: "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, tying up the strong man, judging Satan, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." Hebrews chapter 2 says, "So that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death," that's the devil, "and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." Is there an area in your life that you're already living condemned You hear that? Is there an area in your life where you're already living as though you've been condemned? Because if you are, the Holy Spirit needs to talk to you. Well, the Holy Spirit is talking to you about judgment, about condemnation. And living in that condemnation is not the Holy Spirit. Jesus condemns Satan. Stop letting Satan try and condemn you. Would you pray with me, please? Oh, Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you set us free. And yet I do believe, Lord, every one of us still needs to learn some more about judgment. For some of us, it's on the other end that there is a point that we're going to answer for it. And for some of us, it's on the opposite side who we're living as though we've already been condemned. Would you help us to find that place where we are free? Where we're living in the direction that you're calling us to. That we're doing what you're drawing us towards. Would you talk to us about judgment? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.